Our guests today both have a long history with the sport and with the K300, Didi Jonro and Jeff King. Welcome to both of you. Didi, the K300 in 1981, you finished 19th out of 21 teams, and you finished in 19th place in 92 hours. Now, again, the record for this race is under 38 hours. You were out there 92 hours, and I guess I'm curious, what were you doing with all that time?
Oh, yeah. Jeff should laugh. I don't know, Will. I'm not really sure. I think I was trying to make sure I finished, since 1980 was it was my first long distance race at all. And it was the first time any of the single dogs I had done anything but sprint racing. And if it hadn't been for the talented subsistence survival skills of Joe DeMantle Jr. and some of the other boys up Tulikvek, I might still be out there waiting for somebody to find me next to a marker.
That was the 1980 race.
The 80 race, and that's why I might have spent so much time making sure the 81 race was successful.
Well, but I should also tell you this. Jerry Austin won the 81 race. Jerry went in 80 hours. So you're only 12 hours back, which isn't that much when you consider that time back then.
Every year, Cuskell throws something different. At least we had soft trail. And when you train out there, sometimes you don't always get exposed to the trail conditions that you're going to have. Remember that year that we started and it was raining? I think that, and then it was 30 below before, you know, we hit Aniak. I mean, that's kind of typical Cusco weather.
That was in the early days of the race. I'm sure you guys had a lot more fun when it was an 80 or 90 hour race. Maybe not, but it seemed to me that there was a little bit more socializing, probably some more sleep for the mushers, but now it's just crazy, hectic pace.
We were also learning how to be efficient with feeding and watering, and the checkpoints have become much better skilled at making it easier for drivers to get through. But, you know, I remember making some great friends on the Cusco Trail that helped me. I learned a lot. That was the beginning of my racing career, and I had a steep learning curve.
We have this clip, and this is pre-race 1985. And by the time of this race, you had completed several K300s, as well as four Iditarods. So you come into this race, obviously, with a lot more experience. So let's run that clip.
I've got a whole new team. And everything that's in this team here is about 1.5 to 2.5 years old. And I'm kind of starting with a new group of dogs, and I'm real encouraged by them.
What do you think these dogs will have?
They've got speed. This is a fast dog team. Now, whether they have endurance as puppies remains to be seen. And that's something I'm concerned about in this race, but they got speed.
What do you look forward to as the best part of this race?
The finish.
1985, finished sixth in that race. Your career record includes 12 starts in the K300, 32 Iditarod finishes, 15 top 10 finishes in the Iditarod, and many, many other races. In that clip, you talked at the end there about looking forward to the finish, but why did you really race?
You know, when I first raced, I wanted to see what dogs could do, you know, honestly. And Cusco was an opportunity to actually be mentored and schooled by some of the very best drivers in the sport at the time. Myron put it together well in that he intended for us to have exposure to these top racing teams. And those of us that were locals, and there weren't very many of us, really were mentored by those guys, you know. And so that's one of the reasons I wanted to participate alongside, because that's the best way I was going to be able to learn.
Jeff, K300 record, you've got 27 starts, 9 victories. Pretty amazing. Impressive record. 1988, you came to Bethel for the first time. You weren't a rookie. You had raced in other races. I think you had completed a couple of Yukon Quest and maybe an Iditarod by that time. This is your first time on the K300 trail, which is, as you know better than anybody, probably it's a different kind of an animal. But you had some experience. And you came into this race probably not as wide-eyed as a bunch of rookies, but I'm sure you did still have your eyes open. Look, we have a clip from you from 1988 when you were picking your starting position for that race.
Number four is a good number. Fastest race I know of, certainly for the distance. How do your dogs that are used to a slower quest pace, how will they match up here?
They all stayed home.
Great.
I finished seventh in that race. And I wanted to talk a little bit about Rick Hansen here. Was he your host family at that time?
He was. And he was single at that time. And he had a big party at his house the night before the race. And I will never, ever forget it. He was a fabulous host. And as folks in Bethel know, an incredible volunteer for the K300. But that is a night I will never forget. My race lack of sleep started the day before because he threw a party.
So you learned something that year.
Yeah. One of the things I learned, I took this really little finishing sled that Ed Salter had built, and I thought smaller was better to go faster. And I remember seeing Joe Garney's sled. He had a big wooden sled that was it looked like a boat. I just couldn't believe someone with his knowledge and experience would be driving such a sled that would be so poorly suited, I thought, for this race. But in fact, Joe beat me and I followed that sled. And oh, I wanted a sled with longer runners because I kept sliding down every little dip through Bogus Creek in particular. Riding this little sled was a real mistake. So I did learn something.
I want to talk about Rick Hansen a little bit here. My experience was with Rick probably 20 years after that race, Jeff. I won't recall the year. I came into Bethel for KYUK, worked the start, I think, or hopped in a plane, going to go up to Kalskag, where I usually would go during that race. And we got about maybe in the air for about 10 minutes and everything started icing up. And we landed back in Bethel. And I'm there thinking, what am I going to do all weekend now? I can't get to Tulixac. And right about this time, all the mushers were gathering for the 6 o'clock start. And I'm looking for Myron. And I run up to Myron and I say, Myron, he says, how come you're not up in Tulixac? And in Kalskag. And I said, well, we got iced out. We couldn't fly. So I'm looking for a snow machine. Do you have a snow machine that I could borrow to take up to Kalskag? And he says, well, I got a snow machine you can borrow, but you're not going to make it to Kalskag on it. Well, this guy, Rick Hansen, who I had not met yet, was there. I guess he figured out who I was talking to Myron. He says, I got a snow machine sitting right over there, Will, and you can take it. Rick had a brand new snow machine, less than 100 miles on this. And he said, take it upriver, 100 miles and back, have it for the weekend. Sort of like Joe DeMantle Jr., so many people make this race happen in so many different ways. I wasn't a musher, but I was part of the support. I helped people be aware of what was happening where, and Rick figured we better make this happen. So without hesitation, there's so many people that, and you can go all the way up every one of those villages on that trail. People just like Rick, just like Joe, just like many others. So, Jeff, you finished seventh in the 88 race. You didn't race 88, 89, or 90. And then in 91, you come back and you started winning. You won in 91, 92, 93. 8 years later, you won again in 2001, 2002, 2003. You had three other victories. You have a total of 9 victories in this race. What is it about the case that you were able to figure out?
Oh, I wish I knew her. I'd have won all 27, but I didn't figure anything out. I just, I don't know. I used to have the ability to go that long without sleep and really maintain ability for strategy. I do remember well this race because it didn't start warm and it didn't start icy. We left and had a decent trail all the way to Kalskag, all the way to Antioch, and it was coming back through Whitefish. There was a black cloud that was just really caught my attention, and it was a rain cloud. And by the time I got to Kalskag, it started raining, and it rained the rest of the way. And the only person I really remember because we were so close is Chuck Schaefer. And I don't know, that really started a great friendship with me and Chuck. We traveled together, even to Bogus. I can remember not really knowing where I was. It was my second Cusco, and people who live out there get lost. So once it rained, all the snow's gone. There's no trails markers. There's water running on the ice. Many of the markers would have fallen over. And there have been times I saw markers floating in the current alongside me as I went down the trail. I really took a tremendous amount of security because I was with Chuck. I don't know how many he had run, but he certainly had that innate native ability to not get spooked by the directions and the conditions. And I'd have been a mess without being with Chuck Schaefer from halfway to Bogus all the way to Tulixac, going through Bogus Creek. It was just bank to bank water on ice. I couldn't recognize anything that I saw to be a sled dog trail. Chuck had a fabulous leader named Herbie that was just so perfect for him. And that dog helped us leave Tulixac again. Somewhere not far from Akichuk, I think, is where I pulled away. I must have gone out towards Akichuk on the back part of the finish trail. And my team was able to leave Chuck there. But I'm not sure I've ever been in a race that someone else's team so influenced my ability for a section of the trail. We were really lost. I also want to point out that I noticed two dogs, Tommy and Babe Ruth, both dogs I bought from Susan Butcher, were really instrumental in give her a tremendous amount of credit for selling me such great dogs that ultimately influenced my ability to put together good teams. But I tell you, if it's going to be like that this year, I'm not sure I want to come.
You have a short memory, Jeff.
Yeah, really.
You all must though, but you kept coming out, and same thing with you, Dee Dee. I don't get it. Why Bethel?
For me, it wasn't hard because I love Bethel. I still consider my hometown Bethel. That's where everything good and many things good in my life started. We eventually moved in on the road system after Mike's parents were in a plane crash, and we needed to be where we could help his parents. You know, I remember going back in 02 and Grant Fairbanks, who's to this day one of our best friends, lent us his Jeep, and we went to pick up some of the drop dogs. And I asked Mike, I said, "Where are you going?" You know, we're just talking. And so he goes, "Well, I guess I'm going back home to Hanger Lake Road where we lived." You know, it's just such an impulse there. And I can't listen to anything negative about Bethel. The people have been so good to me and so loyal over the years. And Jeff's talking about the great families that they were wonderful hosts. I mean, everybody had a good host family. And in my case, I got to host some of the drivers, one of them being Libby. One of them was Joe Reddington Sr. And he was full of tricks. I mean, like our pipes frozen, broke in the furnace room the night before the race. And Mike got him thawed and he wrapped it up with some like tubing, like a bicycle tube, you know. And when we went to sell the house, we had to finally take that tubing off and do it for real. Really, he is quite the guy, you know. And I mean, to show you how green I was, that first time when I left, I didn't know what a sled bag was. So I had a blue tarp, village style, folded, and my stuff all lashed around to different parts of the sled. Bethel has taught me a lot over the years, and it's all been good.
How did you get into running dogs, Dee Dee?
I had actually come into Anchorage for Christmas the year before in 79. Anyways, I ran some of Walt. I can't remember all my names now. He was a truck driver friend of my dad's, and he said I could race him in the women's Rondi. And I was, yeah, that sounds great. That'd be wonderful. Well, he didn't train the dogs. I didn't even know their names. I flew in from Bethel for that weekend at a women's Rondi. You're laughing, Jeff. You know it's true. And he had about half his team in heat. And now I know why the other people in the women's Rondi were all looking at me going, Walt Palmer, and backed away from me as if I was poison, because I think they were afraid their team was going to be torn up by mine. But that didn't have to happen because the team bolted off the trail on the Tudor track and out onto Tudor Road. and drug me, you know, on my face until somebody finally stopped and helped me get the team out of the four lanes of traffic. And that weekend, I bought five dogs and took them back to Bethel and said, I'm going to race again someday, but they're going to be with my dogs. That was the spring, and that was the next Iditarod, or the next Cusco, the first Cusco.
That's a pretty amazing story. You're a slow learner too, Dee Dee.
I won't argue that.
Jeff, I think I've asked you this before.
How did I get into the sport? I grew up with a fascination with Jack London's stories. I lived near Jack London State Park in California. So, you know, Call of the Wild and all that was really in my youth. But I came to Alaska for a summer job. I was a frustrated football player in my freshman year of college in Northern California. And it became clear that wasn't going to be a career that I could expect to excel in. And I had a chance to caretake a lodge up here near Denali. And it was not far from where I ended up settling, down near Carlo Creek. And I wanted to live in a cabin by myself. My brother drove up a Siberian Husky from the pound in Tiburon, California. Dog had never seen grass, much less snow, but that was my companion. And we had neighbors. Dennis Kogel had a sled dog team up the road. First few times I heard them, I thought it was a pack of wolves when I was in the wilderness. And sure enough, there's a team up the road. And I hustled into a handling job with Dennis Kogel. That's how I got into it with him. He had a concession to carry mountaineering equipment up onto Mount McKinley by dog team. I did that with him for a couple of years. I entered a race here in Healy. I was third, and I had so much fun, and I've been racing ever since.
This has been fun for KYUK. I'm Will Peterson.
Thank you, Will. Bye, Jeff.